see. Abel see the Lamb of God, and how we're looking forward to seeing the Lamb of God. Able to
see heaven for what it is. Eye hasn't seen, neither ear heard, neither in the heart of man what's prepared for those who love the Lord there.
Amen.
Also, he was able to see all these saints washed in the blood, singing a new song.
Amen.
We'll get to see those that's gone before us, those that sleep in the Lord. We'll have a reunion when that time occurs. Not only that, but he also got to see a new heaven, new earth. One coming in which there would be no pain, no sorrow, no death, no parting. Thank God for that. We ended this morning over here, and I want to pick up just on a thought or two. It's just been a month or two that I preached my uncle's funeral. My uncle had a request to have his Bible open and to have his finger pointing to two verses in this chapter of chapter 22. Verse number 18, verse number 19. I want to begin reading, first of all, we'll get to those in a moment, but I want to begin reading, first of all, in verse number 10. The Bible said, "He said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence. We ask for your help. Give us words, Lord, that would be a help to us in this hour, in the time in which we live. We pray to Heavenly Father, open our minds, open our hearts. Be with all those that's traveling today out from us. Be with Sister Linda in the hospital, to Heavenly Father, as she's going through tests, trying to figure out what's causing her pain. And Heavenly Father, be with the family that's around her. We ask and we lift them up. And Heavenly Father, thank you for those that's visiting with us. We pray you give them traveling mercy to get back home, be with their church in their absence. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for their presence among us tonight. We pray now that you let us get into the Word of God. Just open it up, make it alive as it is, and Lord, speak to our hearts with it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Look back, if you would, and I want to note one little word, the last word in the Bible, which is what? Amen. Now, I told you I preached a funeral, and some of you were there. My uncle's funeral a while back, and he asked and requested, and when I got there to the funeral home had put the Bible open up and just left his hands on the Bible, and it was somewhere in the book of Matthew. And I got there, and his daughter had said something to my wife about that he requested that his finger be pointing to verse number 18 and 19. And so they came and asked me if I would change it, and so I did. And I put his finger there. Someone asked, and as a matter of fact, I preached that text for his funeral. And I preached upon the thought that you can't change the Word of God. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. There's people that like to take away, people like to add to. In this day and time, we find people creating all kinds of new Bibles. They're trying to get Bibles to say what they want it to say, how they want to say. Eliminate the things they don't like that it says, and add to things. It's a dangerous thing to ever start adding anything to the Word of God. Whether you like it, whether I like it, whether it hits us, whether it cuts us, whatever it may do, it is the Word of God.
Amen.
It stands on its own. Forever, O Lord, thy word is what?
Settled
in heaven. You'll not change it. When you stand before God, the Bible says he came not to judge us, but the word that he's spoken, it shall judge us in the last day. You better get familiar with the Word of God, and you better not get caught up in all these new translations. These new translations that wants to add to, take away, and things that are different can't be the same. And you know, one time I sat in here, I passed out about 20 of these new versions, and we took the King James, and we began to stand up and read passages. Some had the complete passages omitted. And my friend, when you have one leaving one out, one adding two, one changing word, one changing context, they're not the same. So you better stay in the Word of God. I don't know, and I assume these folks are the same way, but we're King James people. We're King James, true, bought from the heart, from our heart. And we believe that to be the Word of God for English-speaking people. And so tonight I want to look at a couple things surrounding that little word, amen. Word amen means several different things in one sense of the Bible, but it means so be it. Sometimes God would say amen. Sometimes we are to say amen. And we need to agree with the Word of God. Now the Bible says if any man adds to the words of this prophecy, that God would add to him the plagues that are written therein. And if someone would take away from the words of this prophecy, he'd take his name out of the book of life. And someone said, well, what's it doing in there? Well, if you read and study the book of life, you always find out of the 14 or 15 references that's given to it, it's not written, it's always past tense. It's in there, but it's four times we're told that names will be blotted out. And so therefore, you don't want your name blotted out. You say, how can I keep my name from being blotted out? Have it written with the blood, amen? Have it secured by the blood of the Lamb. You get that? You don't have to worry about it. But let's look at this little word, amen. In the Bible, we find the word amen 78 times. 22 times in the Old Testament, 51 in the New Testament. The last time we ever find it, we read tonight. And the first time we ever find it is Numbers chapter 22. And so therefore, when you look at this, there's another couple words, verily, that we find several times in the Bible, and truly, that the Lord used several times, verily, verily. And he wants to get across the truth. And so tonight, I want to look at some things, and I want to think about some things that you ought to be able to say amen to. If you can't say amen to them, you need to get where you can say amen to them. You know, the Bible tells us a lot of things about the time in which we live. As a matter of fact, Peter, in 2 Peter, he ends up his book in chapter 3, his epistle there. He ends it up by writing and leaving with the word amen. In other words, let it be true. To God's glory, let it be true. And when you read that epistle, you'll find that it talks about a false prophet that's going to come, false teachings that's going to come, false science that's going to come, all kinds of issues that we're going to face in these latter days. But he also encourages us because it will be an exciting time for those of us who are alive. And I realize that there are some challenges living in these last days. There's challenges that that we are confronted with in seeing and dealing with issues. We're living in the church age, I believe, before the coming of Christ, in the Laodicean church age. And so we're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing a lot of changes. We're seeing a lot of things, people leaving things. We're talking about the King James Bible. Amazing how many people has left the King James Bible. And listen, I've never found anything wrong with the Bible. The problem is the Bible always points out things wrong with me. And so when the Bible points out things wrong with me, I just have to say, amen. And if you ever want to get right with God, there's one way of getting right with God. God, you're right, and I'm wrong. And until you get to that position, you'll never get right with God. That's what leads to repentance. That's what leads with godly sorrow. That's what brings you in graces of God. And so tonight, I want us to look at a few places, and I want to talk about some things that we can say amen to. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice in chapter 3, most of you got a little age on you, or many of you, just got a lot of young people here that don't remember how things used to be before phones. Had one of my granddaughters one time tell me several years ago, said, "Pap, I've been trying to text you. You ought to get texts." I said, "I don't have texts." She said, "What do you do with your phone?" I said, "I talk on it." I thought that's what the phones were for. Some of these has not seen how things have changed. Look, if you would, in chapter 3, verse number 1. "This know also that in the last days," what? "Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self." Can you say amen? Amen. "Covetous." Can you say amen?
Amen.
"Boasters."
Amen.
"Proud."
Amen.
"Blasphemers." "Disobedient to parents." "Unthankful." "Unholy." "Without natural affection." "Truth breakers." "False accusers." "Incontinent." "Fierce." "Despisers of those that are good." "Traitors." "Heady." "High-minded." "Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, can you agree with me and agree with the word of God that we are living in perilous times? This is dangerous times. It's times when we're not recognizing children. Children has unnatural affection to parents, and parents has unnatural affection to children. Crystal, she's not here tonight, but she's got a baby. Somebody put on the internet the other day and website and gave the baby away, and she took it because they was wanting to give it away. What's happening? People are able to kill and do all kinds of things and walk off and leave their children. What's happening to people? Unnatural affections we're seeing. Perilous times. And it's amazing, we strive to try to fill the church house up and can't do it, but boy, these sports arenas on Sunday, you can't hardly get buy a ticket because they're sold out. Perilous times. They're here. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Not only that, the Bible says in verse number 7, "Ever learning, never come knowledge of the truth." Amen? Boy, they're getting wiser and wiser and wiser and more foolish all the time. They have no wisdom about them. They have no knowledge of God. They're getting farther away from God. Ever learning, but never coming knowledge truth. Sometimes you listen to some of these fellows on TV and on the radio, and they'll have all these letters after their name, and they'll sound like fools, not understanding the word of God.
Amen.
Just much learning is not always the answer to everything. But thank God we have it. Also, if you'll notice, the Bible says in verse number 13, somebody said, "Well, things are getting better." Well, it may seem that way temporarily, but I'll tell you this. The Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceiving." In other words, in fact, look at verse number 12. "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall" what? Now mark this down. There is no painless way of serving God. Anyone who tries to serve God, there's going to be cost. It's going to cost you something. It always will. And therefore, the world's not going to get better. It's an evil world. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The Bible says in that book of Isaiah that we will be living in a time when people will be calling evil good and what?
Good
evil. Can you say amen that we're living in that time? You can stand up today and preach against homosexuality, and they want to blackball you. They want to run you off. They want to shut you up. and they want to try to treat you as you're some kind of weirdo and some kind of unkind, and that you're unnatural. There used to be a time not long ago that anyone, when a man would lay with a man and a woman lay with a woman, we would think that it was unnatural. God didn't create them that way. It's an abomination then, it's still abomination now. They're trying to shut us up, but listen, somebody's got to still say amen to that.
Amen?
You say, well, that's a law now. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't change the word of God. The word of God is settled. His promises are yea and amen. And therefore, we have to count upon that, and we have to learn to say amen to that. Look, if you would, real quickly, over in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16... notice, if you would, in verse number 23, the Bible says, sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations, for great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. Would you agree with that? Can you say amen to that? Listen, is God good? The Bible says the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. Do you think God is good?
Amen.
How many of you can stand and say, boy, God's been better to me than what I deserve?
Yeah.
Amen? God's much better to me than I ever deserve.
Amen.
So listen, the only thing I'm disappointed with, I'm completely satisfied with Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know anything I could add or take away to what Jesus is. Right here is the only one I get disappointed with. Right here. And man, sometimes he really disappoints me. But Jesus never disappoints me. I mean, man, think about his blood. Can you say amen to his blood?
Amen.
A blood that has a cleansing power to take away your sins, to think and cover where God will not see him anymore, cast him from the east to the west, all mine to be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only that, but also think about his book, this precious book. World's striving to find all the answers to all these problems that they're having. Lies right here. The truth.
Amen.
We still have. I'm glad that I met the truth. I'm glad that he was embodied and he dwelt among us full of grace and glory. Amen. And so I'm glad that we know the truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible says the truth shall set you free. And if you want to be set free, it's got to be by the word of God. So therefore, what we need to understand is, listen, I am satisfied with Jesus' blood. I'm satisfied with his book. And you know, as much as we have with the church today, I'm satisfied with his body. You say, well, preacher, I have people come sometimes say, I'm looking for a church and I just can't find the perfect church. I said, well, just quit looking. You're not going to find it here. But if you're really a part of it, you've been washed in the blood, someday when you're presented to Christ, you will be the perfect church. And when we do that, amen, it will be fine. But can you imagine how God in his wisdom looked forward and from the foundation of the world had his son slain and make a way that we, through the cross of Calvary, might be made into one body? We might be adopted into his family. We might be changed in the twinkle of an eye, in a moment. We might be born again to the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
And been made joint heirs with Jesus. Can you imagine God in his wisdom? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Man, are you satisfied with his body?
Amen.
Let me ask you this. How about his blessings? You say, well, preacher, I've been going through a rough time this last week. We all go through rough times. Jesus said, in this world you shall have what? Tribulation. You know what that tribulation means? Say that word, it means to be pressed down. You ever get pressed down? I told somebody, today I got to take my heart monitor off and send it back to cardiologist in the morning. And I told somebody, it seemed like all summer long, my summer vacation has been going over this doctor and coming here and going there. But you know what? When I stop a minute, I still can't say nothing, but boy, his blessings is good. Amen. God's been good to me. And so we need to remember that God's good. Amen. Look on down, if you would, in this same chapter. Look, if you would, in verse 31. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth or the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good. For his mercy, what? Endure forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation. Gather us together, deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said what?
Amen.
Amen. And they did what? Praise the Lord. And so therefore, what we need to do is we need sometimes just look around and see what God's done and say, God is good. Amen. And therefore, everything that God does is good. Amen. Look one more place, if you would, before I get on a couple other thoughts. Real quickly, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27. Even in God's judgments, we must say amen. Look, if you would, in chapter 27. In verse 9, the Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 9, and Moses and the priests and the Levites spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day, that thou become the people of the Lord thy God. Now, skip on down, if you would, and notice in verse number 14. The Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molded image, an abomination of the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and put it in a secret place. All the people shall answer and say what?
Amen.
Amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say what?
Amen.
Amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say amen. And on and on and on and on and on. Sometimes we have to say amen to the judgments of God. God's wisdom is much better than us. When he says something's right, it's right. When he says something's wrong, it's wrong.
Amen.
It all starts and stops with God. We don't want to take from. We don't want to add to. So first of all, you'd have to agree with me. We're living in perilous times. Amen. Would you do that? Not only that, we're living exciting times. You know, it's exciting to live and know that Jesus may come at any time. I don't know about you, but it wouldn't break my heart if all of a sudden there was a trumpet sound and a shout, and man, I was looking upon the face of Jesus. Amen? And you know what? How many of you would say it's good to be able to go to bed, lay your head on the pillow at night, go to sleep, and not have to worry if he comes during the night knowing that you will be taken? Isn't that good to know? Amen. And so therefore, it's exciting, even though it's terrifying in one way because of the perilous times in which we see, the dangerous times, the wicked times, seeing evil called good and good called evil. It is dangerous during those times, but yet it's exciting, because we are beginning to see the fulfillment of the Bible all around us. I mean, imagine. Daniel said that knowledge would be increased. You know how much knowledge lies in this one little thing here? I can't get to the limits of it. They call it a smartphone. And yet I have to get my grandkids to show me what to do with it. When I went to college, I took a computer class. My computer was the size of this room right here. We only got out of it what we put in it. And I thought then we were advanced. Then they came and said they was going to do something like a WWW, World Wide Web. And all the world would be talking to one another. I said, yeah, right. Look, knowledge is increased. And many people should be doing what? Traveling to and fro. People has no time to do nothing anymore. Amen. We're living in exciting times. Can you also agree that he's coming. Look, if you would, in chapter 21 of Revelation, real quickly. Stay with me a minute more. Revelation chapter 21. Chapter 21, right after the great white throne judgment, John said, "And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more. What was there no more of?" Look in verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more," what? "Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are what? Passed away." Thank God. One of these days, we're going to say goodbye. What's coming for us? A new place, a new home. One in which I don't know about you, I'm tired of this old sinful world. And I'll tell you something else. I'm tired of this old sinful body. Amen? And you know, I kind of like the idea of having a home, Brother Junior, where my mind will be sharp again, my body will be sharp again, no pain, Tony, amen? No more surgeries, amen? No more sorrow. No more burying our loved ones. Amen. Last but not least, let me say, I also agree with people and say amen to people that still will and preach the word of God.
Yes. Amen.
I appreciate people still preaching the old salvation that has repentance in it. You know, people anymore has formed this type of salvation where you say this, pray this prayer after me. I give a few grunts, I shake my hand, nod your head, and you're going to heaven. Repentance has no place in it. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." The Bible said there was time when man's ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth every man, all men everywhere, to what? Repent. God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Repentance. So therefore, what we need is, I appreciate men that are still preaching the old gospel message, amen? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, I also appreciate not only the old-fashioned preaching, I also appreciate the old-fashioned church, amen? I love to see the church, and I've done said and talked about the old-fashioned Bible. Listen, I haven't found anything wrong with this Bible. Why do I want to go to a different one? Amen. The only thing I keep finding problems with is me, not with the Word of God. And so tonight I want you to understand, even though I was going to look at a couple things about amen that I didn't get into, I want you to understand, folks, we still need to be saying amen. And I'm going to tell you something. When you preach, when someone else will preach, and this brother tell you back here, isn't it nice when you're preaching to have somebody occasionally say amen? Isn't it good to have somebody agreeing with you and say, "Boy, I want you to know I agree with that. That's me. When you say that, I agree 100% with you. I'm with you all the way on that. God said it, that settled it, and that's it. And so therefore, it's forever settled in heaven." And so therefore, God says, listen, you need to understand, I'm coming, you better be ready. Don't try to start taking things away from what I've said. Don't add things to me. You better get ready. Do it according to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Word of God. We don't want to change that, amen? Because without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. So therefore, we want to have Him pleasure in what we do. And if we're going to be saved, for by grace, are you saved through what? You got to have it, folks. And if you start changing the Word of God, whoa, what are you going to do with that? Amen? Thank God that we have the truth settled forever, never changing. You want to put your trust in something? Don't trust in this. Trust right there in that. Amen. That will never fail you. Amen. So always understand, it's not just saying amen. Even when you get through praying, it's not just saying, "God, I believe you are able to do this. Amen. Let it be so." Amen. Let's stand tonight if you would. 20.